Now, welcome to all, and we will read tonight from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He was a prophet now, not a hypocrite, a prophet, a man of unclean lips, like a leper. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lepers. Unclean lips, rather, they are compared to the presence of God as lepers. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, the last book of our Bible, chapter 4 and verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we will read down at verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings above him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give honor, glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth for ever and ever. Now in chapter 5, about those four beasts, verse 8, and the 24 elders, they fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And finally in chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is it safe to say tonight that there is likely in society a decreasing awe of authority? In fact, the general thinking of people is to bring down the throne to the level of the people. Now, I know that to be more the case likely in my native country, or in the U.S., rather than even in this country, but I think it is still the case. That there is no longer, even what there may have been in a past generation, a respect for the throne. But what we have read here is a picture for us of God upon His throne. And far higher than any earthly monarch, far higher than the highest authority on earth, is this ultimate authority. And I think that because society tends to bring down authority to the level of all of us, it is more important than ever for us to emphasize the absolute, uncompromised authority of the God of the Bible. We are not dealing tonight with a man. And the tragic events of the past months in the country to the south of us have reminded all of us that in the individuals in this world who may be given a place of high authority, there are personal flaws. And while none of us can afford to be condescending to others, in some ways they may be personal flaws that are beneath many of us. There are no flaws in God. There is no lowering of His authority. There is no compromising of His transcendent greatness. We have read about a God who sits upon an august throne. And I want you to think with me in Isaiah chapter 6 of the throne and the seraphim. The seraphim, as far as I can understand, are the highest ranks of angels. Angelic beings that were made to surround the throne of God. Now, if you understand that they were made for one purpose, they have six wings, an unusual configuration, but they are given that because there is one purpose to their being. They surround the very throne where God is. And their constant, uninterrupted occupation is covering their faces with two of the wings, for they cannot look upon the august greatness of this God who is enthroned. And covering their feet, because they cannot stand in the presence of this august God. With two wings they fly, and constantly they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Will you understand that this has been going on for thousands of years? As long as angelic beings have had their being, they have been in the very presence of God with one occupation. Now just one moment, please. This is not some self-serving God who derives pleasure from His creature somehow or other, bowing and scraping before Him. He is God over all, awesome, transcendent, eternal, sterling in character, holy, holy, holy. He is not at the level of man. He is not at our level to rather speak to Him as though He were ordinary and our equal. What I would long to impress on you tonight is the absolute holiness of God. You understand that these angelic creatures, these seraphim, have never sinned. There has never been the thought of sin that has touched their mind. And they are, after 6,000, 7,000, however many thousands of years, they are still in awe of the holiness of God. I think of the words of Job. "The heavens are not pure in thy sight. How much less man who drinketh iniquity like water?" No trouble to you to just take a glass of water. I mean, you might not even remember the last time you had a drink of water. It's just so ordinary. It's commonplace. It's part of everyday living. And to us, sin is normal. Sin is ordinary. We say everybody has sinned. And that's nothing unusual that I think things like that. Everybody thinks things like that. Yes, that's absolutely true. But there is no such stain as that in the presence of God. There is no compromise of the holiness of God. Into the thought of one of the highest created beings from the hand of God, into the thought of that being came this. I will be as God, and like lightning he fell from heaven. The holiness of the presence of God. And what I would long to impress on all of us tonight is this. You and I stand at this present moment exposed to the all-seeing eye of that holy God. How do we get a little swagger in our gait? How do we get a little casualness in the way we speak about God? When we are sinners, and God is holy. And I do want you to know that there will never be in the presence of God a stain of sin. Never. Banished forever from the presence of God is all of sin. Is it any wonder that what we have read is the confession of the prophet Isaiah? Now I do want to insist that this man is a prophet of God. He's not like a Balaam, who was an ungodly man, but God used his lips and spoke tremendous truth. This man is a man of God. This man is one of the greatest prophets of our Bible, Isaiah. And he is in the presence of God. And as he sees those seraphim, and as the awesomeness of that sight causes the posts of the temple to tremble, suddenly within him there is a trembling, and he begins to realize, I am unfit for the holy presence of God. And he cries out, woe is me! I am undone. What can I say in the presence of a God who is holy? What I would long to impress upon you tonight is this. You and I are not dealing with the doctrines of men. You are not tonight responding in your heart to the preaching of men. You are responding to the very character of God. Complacency is totally inappropriate. Self-confidence, totally out of character, if only you grasp the reality of the holy presence of God. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Do you understand what Isaiah is saying? Isaiah understood that God's law said that any person that had leprosy would have to flee from the presence of God. They would have to dwell far away from where the presence of God was, in the middle of the camp of the children of Israel. And Isaiah is getting an up-close look at God. And he said, I deserve to be way without, far from God. I'm like a leper. No skeletons in his closet. No secrets. Not the thought of one sin he had committed. Just the thought of what he was by nature. I am a man who has leprosy in his nature. And what we are preaching is this. Every one of us is a sinner. Compared to the light of the holy presence of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Good living does not fit a person for the presence of God. Good intentions do not fit a person for the presence of God. Every one of us has a God with whom we must do, and that God is holy. And there's not one of us stands a chance of acceptance or fitness in the presence of God in ourselves. I would only pray that all of us tonight may be conscious of one thing above everything else. No preacher, no hall, no fellow listeners, but God. And I stand before God, and all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. As ineffective as my presentation of that throne and that God is, I want to tell you that it thrills me to see the truth of Revelation 4 and 5. Here is the throne and a song before that throne. I cannot help but see that you have creatures who have six wings in both of these passages. And the cry is so much the same in both of these. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come. And there are a multitude of people around that throne. Now, John won't tell you this, but I will. I can tell you something that John didn't tell you. If you could see that crowd that John saw, you would see the face of David Oliver. I'll be there. Thank God I will be there. And understand that the holiness of God will not have been compromised. I will be there without one stain of sin. And I do want you to know tonight that that is not the way I live. I seek to live by the grace of God. But I am conscious of sin within. But I will be there without one stain of sin. I want you to know tonight there is a tremendous work that is accomplished by the Lamb of God that fits guilty sinners for the very presence of a holy God. Is it any wonder that around that throne, that one sitting on the throne is the Lamb? This is to me the most thrilling sight in all the Bible. I love Revelation chapter 5. Heaven. And there are men in heaven, and they are waiting for the one who has the answer to all of earth's problems. And there is no answer among men. And John weeps until he gets the message. Don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's prevailed. And John says, I want to get a look at this lion. And suddenly, as John looks, behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 24 elders, stood a lamb. You see, John is no stranger to the lamb. John's writings start on this note, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And what I would love to convey to you tonight is this blessed truth, that Lamb's precious blood can cleanse a vile sinner and make him fit for the holy presence of God. What baptism will not do, and what church membership will not do, and 1,000 other devices that men have imagined, what nothing else in this world can do, the precious blood of Christ alone can do. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And listen to that song, as now the redeemed surround the throne, and in the midst of that throne is the Lamb. I just love to dwell on that sight. If you could see that Lamb, you would see in his hands wounds. You would see in his side a wound. You would see in his feet the nail prints. A living Lamb with mortal wounds.
a lamb, says John, as it had been slain.
It sings good. Huh? It's wonderful to be able to sing together. You know? I'll tell you what. There will be no singing in Woodman Drive or in any place on earth like the singing that will spontaneously spring up in heaven, fill heaven itself. And as they see the Lamb, there will be one united chorus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. No matter from what nation they come, no matter from what people they come, no matter from what century they have come, every soul that will be there solely and completely through the Lamb that was slain at Calvary. And every soul that will be there in heaven will sing from their souls, there's one who is worthy, and the value of what Christ did at Calvary alone has made us fit for the holy presence of God. See, there's something special about this to me personally. Because my memory is going back just now to a 10-year-old boy sitting in a gospel meeting. I'm mighty glad for that gospel meeting. I'm mighty glad for what took place in that meeting. And if I can just say this as an added privilege to it, while his father was preaching away, the boy sat in the meeting and thought to himself what a terrible thing it would be to stand before God with all of his sins brought out in the presence of God. And he thought to himself, there's no point in listening anymore. I can't figure out how to be saved. So he took the hymn book out and he started to leaf through the hymn book. And in typical style, he found a hymn that nobody else knew. And he began to read, "When none was found to ransom me, he was found worthy." And as he looked at those words, it just came to him this way. No one else could save me, but the worthy one was the Lamb who died on the cross for me. Went home that night and told his mother. Mother said, "You better tell your father." Poor boy sat and waited till his father came in for the Inquisition. 10 years of age, the most important thing that could ever happen to a person happened to him. He found out that the blood of the Lamb was enough to meet his need. He found out that what the Lord Jesus accomplished at Calvary was enough to save him from eternal judgment. And I want you to know tonight that every person that will surround that throne will look back to a moment in life when they found out that what the Lamb did at Calvary was for me. That the Lamb's precious blood was shed for my guilty sins. And tonight the wonderful truth of the gospel is this. Every soul in this meeting, deep stained with the crimson stain of sin, can be fitted for the awesome holy presence of God through the blood that was shed at Calvary. Personally trusting that Savior brings you into eternal blessing and fitness. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Can I just tell you for a moment about the throne and the search in Revelation chapter 20? It is the same throne. It is a great white throne. The awesome holiness of that throne has never been compromised, and it never will. And before that throne are all who have never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The dead, small and great, stand before God. And they would flee away from His presence if they could. But they must now face the God from whom they have fled lifelong. You may duck and weave and avoid facing God, but you will one day stand face to face with the awesome One who sits upon the great white throne. And the heaven and the earth are gone, fled away. Standing before Him are the helpless, condemned,
in their sins.
And there's a search made.
I'm glad my name's in that book. I'm glad for the moment I trusted Christ and received everlasting life. My name's in the book. There'll be no search for my name, but there'll be a search for your name. And whosoever was not found, God in His kindness, as if to say, I can hardly believe that you're not saved. Surely you must have trusted my Son. Let me search the book again. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what God says. Your name not found. And from the awesome holiness of that exalted throne, your soul will be cast into endless fire. Your sins will drive you from the holy presence of God to be lost forever in your sins beneath the judgment of God. Oh, that souls in the meeting tonight would realize this is what God is saying about me. And there is provision for me in the Lamb. Don't leave the meeting tonight before you have found the value of the Lamb and His precious blood to cleanse you and to make you fit before God's throne.